Welcome to Prevailing Prayers with GSW. This promises to be another transformative time with the Word of God. Let your hearts be ready to receive the Word mixed with faith that would yield innumerable testimonies in your life. God bless you as you listen.
Today, I'll start to talk to us about prosperity, how to prosper, how to build wealth, how to become financially independent or financially stable or a financial giant, however you don't want to put it, but I'm talking prosperity, kingdom prosperity. And to the first one, likely that I will not conclude it today and that I will talk about it again tomorrow. But I get a lot of messages every day, usually most of them are tending towards needs, people's financial struggle and all that. I did 2 class notes. I posted them so that those who are interested can read them. And with the class I want to teach, they can add one-on-one together. And if you will practice what I am teaching, you will see tremendous changes. The key is not to be hearers of the word, but to be doers, to be consistent doers, to make up your mind that, okay, I'm going to do this consistently, not just, make up your mind and then tomorrow, you go bankrupt in your own mind and you cannot follow things through. How to be wealthy? The Christian way is biblical, and I'll show you from scriptures that God wants you to prosper and be in health. It is important. No Christian should ever need to beg for anything or ask any man for anything or be at anybody's mercy in this life. When Christians find themselves in this situation, like I said yesterday, it is because they have become a victim of their own story, a victim of their own weaknesses. They are not putting on Christ as they should. And when you don't put on Christ, you are going to end up putting on yourself. And you see, that self is a baggage of weakness. It cannot help you in any way. So, how do we become wealthy? Now, first, let's define wealth. Lots of people believe wealth to be money, dollars, pounds, gold, silver. But that is just a part of wealth. That is the material part of wealth. The material part of wealth, which you keep in your bank, in your vaults, which is made in a factory, in a mint, which is built like a car or houses, all those material aspects of wealth, they are just a part of it. They are not the real wealth. Real wealth is Christ, the knowledge of Christ. I'm going to show it to you, and I'm going to make it so simple that if you listen to it, even if a child, somebody in maybe age 14, 15 listens to it and begins to practice it, he or she will become wealthy in no time. So I'd like you to please pay attention to this class. Let me be sure. If you can hear me, can I see your hand loud and clear? Or do I need to raise my voice? Do I need to shout? Am I cool? Are we cool with me? Okay, thank you. So this is my normal voice. Thank you. All right. What does Christ do to the person when you become born again? Pay attention. The way you are before you become born again, you are yourself. You don't have any special characteristics. You are just a human being. You respond to the environment. You are trained in the culture, language, tradition, in whatever place you are born, and you are raised like that. And that is you. That's you. That person, that one, could become successful and could fail, could die young and could live to be old, could fall sick and could be healthy. The probability of that one who didn't have Christ living or dying is 50-50. Being rich or poor is 50-50. Being healthy or sickly is 50-50. And in many cases, it's less than 50 because of the vicissitudes of life that you are not insulated or immunized against. So then Christ comes into your life. You become born again. You give your life to Jesus. You now have eternal life. No more are you trying to survive. You have survived. You have gotten a winning position. That's what Christ does. It gives you a winning mentality. You have nothing to lose anymore. You are not going to die. You have cheated death. You have eternal life. You have cheated pain, sorrow, misery, all those negative things. You have overcome them automatically. You are now a Christian. You are now a Christian. So we are starting from ground zero. I became a Christian today. And today that I became a Christian, let's say I was also in a lot of debt. I was owing a lot of money, people a lot of money. And I don't have a job, but I'm a Christian today. I just gave my life to Christ today. So then, the first thing I learned is that my identity has changed. Second thing I learned is that how I used to think changes. One of the things Christianity does for you is that it makes you joyful. Even in the midst of adversity, you are not afraid. You have boldness. You are full of courage. You are full of joy. You are wiser than you were before you became a Christian. You will find yourself operating in divine knowledge, wisdom. You begin to read your scriptures. Your heart becomes open to wisdom, to knowledge, to spiritual understanding, to angelic blessings. You notice that things about your wiring as a person have changed. You are now a new creature. All things have passed away. All things have become new. So that is the first level of wealth. You have eternal life. It is intangible, but it is real. Number two, you then have all the advantages of a positive nature that becoming a Christian gives you. You now have the Holy Spirit, intangible, but a super guide, which the Holy Spirit gives you. You now have a renewed mind, which means the way you used to approach issues yesterday is not the way you approach them now, which then means that this new person is going to be making different decisions, different choices from the decision he used to make before. And so this is the best level of wealth. It is internal because it is happening within you. It is exalting. You are not defeated. You are not a defeated person in your spirit anymore. You feel joy. It is liberating. You feel free. It gives you creativity. You have the room to think, to explore all the potentials that you couldn't explore before. And because you now have Christ, you have a safety net. You are no longer afraid to think big and to act big. So that is the first level of wealth. On the outside, typically when somebody is broke, they snap at people. They are often angry, frustrated. They live in a slum most of the time. The environment is smelly, dirty. The people they relate with are smelly, dirty people. They are constantly faced with lack. They are defined by the people they relate with, the environment where they live, how they dress, the kind of opportunities they have in life. So this keeps people poor. Let me say that again. Whenever I said, oh, this person is broke or indebted, but he has become born again now. So this born again person is living in maybe one slum and has come to know Christ as a born again. He begins to read his Bible every day. He will pray in tongues. He will make his confession. He does not talk poor anymore. He begins to talk rich. He begins to say, I'm the blessed of the Lord. I'm a blessing to my generation. The hand of the Lord is upon me. I'm doing great and mighty things. My generation, gold is mine, silver is mine. The cattle of 1,000 years are mine. Thank you, Jesus. God has given me, really given me all things in Christ Jesus. But he's in debt, he's poor. But he keeps saying these things. His neighbors, who before, when they see him, he will not greet them, he will not talk to them because he has fought with this one. This one stepped on him when he went to fetch water. That one did not use his gas to cook and did not refill it or his stove. Yeah, a lot of things happen in Islam, and usually all of them are always bickering. And either they are fighting over electricity bill or water bill, or they are talking about who is going to sweep the compound, or they are talking about whose son did something to somebody's daughter, or whose daughter did something to somebody's son, or whose children are bad children. So in such a situation, that's where he finds himself, the lowest of the low. He begins to speak like this about himself. I'm a blessing to my generation. I'm God blessed. I'm God ordained. I'm anointed to do great and mighty things all the days of my life. He just says these things to himself in his own room. And then it affects his attitude. He smiles more. He is warmer to people. People who normally wouldn't greet him will greet them. His heart is open. People begin to notice the change. He's already reflecting wealth. Already reflecting wealth. He may not have money in his pocket yet, but it's already radiating a certain light. People begin to notice it. He's quick to help other people, even though he's in trouble himself, he's indebted. When people come to him to say, oh, we are broke, we need something to eat. If he has anything, he will split it with them. If he doesn't, he will join hands with them and they will pray. And supplies will come. People begin to notice that when he prays with them, supplies come, answers come. People begin to notice that it's different. That there's something about it. There's a light, there's a glow. But he doesn't have money yet. He's still in debt. In fact, the debtors will come to his house. They'll come and shout, knock on the door. Normally, will hide. This time around, they will tell them, I promise you that this one will be ready by the power of the Holy Spirit within the next 3 weeks. Give me 21 days. Your money will be ready. It will not fail this time. The debtors will notice the confidence. They begin to wonder, is he expecting money from somewhere? We begin to notice there's something about him. Wealth is spiritual more than we can ever think. And people must first notice it. When people notice that this guy, they begin to trust him. They begin to, when they are thinking of who they can go to for help, they begin to come to him. He doesn't have money. People come to him to say, he should come and sponsor their program. People come to borrow money. People come to him to say, please, we need a loan. We want to start a business. And he will never tell them he doesn't have. He will tell them, oh, let's do an answer in prayer, and then let's trust the Lord that the surprise will come. This is the first level of wealth that everybody, if you are going to be wealthy in life, if you don't go through this stage, your money is in your hands. You are not wealthy yet. If you are earning salary, but you are still bickering, fighting everybody, one day when you don't have a job anymore, when you retire or you lose your job, you will see how quickly you will be poor. Wealth has to be built the right way. And it has to come from inside. From inside. Okay. You are listening to the class so far. You understand? It is simple. Can I see your hand? And the response, is this simple enough? Do you get it? Get it? Okay, thank you. So this poor person continues to speak like this, but his attitude is totally different. The attitude is affective. Then he tells himself, oh, I need to change the way I dress. These clothes I'm wearing a bit dirty. So Lord, I need clothes, I need shoes. He finds a good church to attend where his attitude also is the same. The attitude, he doesn't inherit other people's enemies, he doesn't backbite, he's full of joy, he's contented with the little he has, but he knows, he's assured in his mind that he's going to a higher place. And that there is peace for him now, nothing can hinder him. So you see, from his relationship that he's building now, all the laughter, the joy, the handshake, the pray with you, he's building relationships, he's building networks. Networks among poor people. But this is the first level of wealth. People's heart becomes endeared towards him. We see this in the life of Joseph. When Joseph was sold into slavery, the Bible said when they got to Potiphar's house, Joseph could have been frowning, he could have been uncooperative, he could have gone emotional and say he's missing home and he fell into depression and he would just be like any other slave. But no, the Bible said his attitude, he was comely, he was full of life, he handled Potiphar's business so well. Potiphar had to promote him quickly. You see, it is the attitude. There are other slaves. He met other slaves there. But the attitude did not show the attitude of a slave. It showed the attitude of somebody who has a God, somebody who God has got his back, who is not afraid of the future, who is not thinking like an ordinary person. What keeps people poor? Is their attitude. Poor people have the worst attitude in the world. They are the ones that will keep malice. They are the ones that are always angry. They are always frowning. They are dirty. They are nasty. The way they behave to other people, you will know why they are poor. If I lived among poor people for some time in my life, and I can tell you, the poor people, the reason they remain poor is basically because they are poor inside. There is no internal wealth. So even in their heart, they have poverty there. They cannot share whatever they have. They fight people consistently. They fight the other poor people like them. They always think they are better than other poor people. So there's always this who is poorer competition, poverty competition. There's always this envy and jealousy and strife. And a lot of backbiting. Poor people, they do not use their brain right. But once you are born again, you are no longer a poor person. It doesn't matter whether you don't have any money. You are now rich. For your sake, you became poor, that you might become rich. So you are now rich. It is not going to come. It has to be immediate. And immediately, you know, I'm not born again. I'm reading your scriptures. You begin to see the reflection of those scriptures. Your attitude changed. You talk, you greet, you are good, then opportunities will begin to come. It is based on this network, this laughter, this joy, this people want to be around you because you reflect a very positive light in the midst of darkness. People will come to you with their problems. People will come to you for counseling. People will come to you for advice. People will come to you to pray with them. People will begin to call you pastor. You will notice they begin to say, ah, pastor, pastor, pastor. At this level of wealth, some people who do not understand what it means to be wealthy, they will begin to abuse this thing. The people begin to give them little respect. They will now carry Bible in their shoulder, under their armpits. They will now start acting as if they are more important than other people. Those ones will just lose, they will lose the internal wealth. This thing is a consistent thing you have to do all your life. Your internal wealth has to be with you all your life. You shouldn't use your internal wealth. You shouldn't abuse it. You shouldn't abuse it. So you begin to get opportunities. People will come for counsel. Your name will be spreading. People will come for counsel. You counsel them with the wisdom of God. People will talk about their problems. You resolve it for them. Then, if you had no job, you begin to step out to look for a job. But in looking for a job or looking for employment or starting a business, you are going to be deliberate with your confession, and you are going to be deliberate about not owing anybody. It is not a good thing. I've heard some people say, no, you don't use your money to do business. You must borrow money to do business. It is a bad idea for a Christian to be borrowing money. You may get to a point in life when your business becomes so big, banks must definitely invest and all that. But see, at the very beginning, you must ownership. You must train yourself how to be an owner and a steward of wealth. And that means you have to control the system of the ecosystem of your wealth so that somebody cannot come tomorrow and just take it away or yank it away. So it has to be 100% within your control. At this level, maybe you're still earning very little. And you have a debt to pay. You have a commitment to pay that debt. You will be the one to call the people you are owing yourself and tell them, I want to pay you off. The Bible says, oh, no man. So I will be paying this amount every month. I want, and I'll be consistent. And you don't owe anymore. Now, all the external things that collect money from you, poor people, they have nothing. Yet, everybody will tell them to bring. You will shut it down. See, being born again means you are now you just got a new birth. Getting a new birth means you are now a baby. People give to babies. Babies don't give to people. You are born again now. A time will come, you will mature, you'll be given to nations. But at that beginning, Joseph was not giving anything to anybody. He was only managing what his boss had. He had nothing of his own to give. You must train yourself and put the urge to want to tell people that, I'm now getting better. Come and collect so that they can come back and infect your joy and poverty. You must shut it. When you make your confession and things begin to get better, this thing I'm telling you, within a year, 6 months, in fact, 6 months, you will see changes. It is in that attitude, in that behavior, in the rightness of your heart, you begin to see opportunities come. You will have to pray a little bit here and there because you are starting from ground zero and there are already a lot of things on ground. But if you consistently live like this, you will see that you will not need to pray for money anymore. The thing about changing is that the world we live in, is full of darkness. And people are always looking for a source of light. If you would dare to be that light, people will come around you. At this time, you must have conversation with the Holy Spirit. What business? What job you want to do. Even if it is to set up a small kiosk, your kiosk will double as your place of business and the place where people will come to to come and see the light. You will notice that people will come. Deep that by the grace of God I have trained. Some of them are barbers. If you see a crowd, I will go to their barber salon. You'll be wondering, what are they doing special? And I told them, if you do Christ, you don't do all this SU Christian that sees people as sinners and chase them away. You do the kind of Christianity that is accommodating, where a crowd gathers, wealth gathers. When you see a shop where there is only the staff is sleeping, there's no wealth there. When you have a shop where people will come at all time, that's where they want to discuss. They want to come and discuss football, they will come there. They want to come and discuss boxing, they will come. They want to talk about something happening in politics. They want to hear your opinion. So again, you must position yourself in such a way that people must come around. And when they come around, you must be ready to sell. Your products will move. You will sell. It is important that you are such a character, such a a person that Christ can easily be seen in you and draw people, not chase them away, draw people to yourself. You must, and those are the things that Christ does for you. The light of Christ is a comely light. Bible says, how lovely are the feet of him who brings good news, proclaiming peace, announcing news of happiness. Our God reigns. Those who bear good news, there is a countenance, there is a lovely mien all around them. There's an aura of attractiveness that they have. When you see those who don't have Christ, you will see that they are not attractive. There are some people that naturally they have what we call a vicious nature, that they will laugh and they would, they are just like that, but there are not many. A lot of people are morose by their countenance. They are unhappy. They are unaccommodating. The scriptures told us that we must be hospitable. We must be open. We must be kind. We must be all these things. People want it. People want kindness. People want somebody to help them. People want somebody to listen to them. Somebody to care. All this will give you what we call social currency. It is a second level of wealth. Second level of wealth is when you begin to do good to people, not only giving them money. For people think it's when they give people money that you do good to them. No. When you counsel somebody in need, when you help somebody to stop a fight, when you counsel somebody's child who is wayward, when you step in and you help somebody put their child in school, when you go out of your way to extend the hand of help to a neighbor, this is what we call goodwill. You have what we call goodwill. They will call it trading favors. You will have a lot of favor that is to your account, not money, but favor. That tomorrow you can easily call in the favor and say, "Oh, I want something." The person will say, "Ah, Pastor, because it's you, take, take, take." Why? Because the person has a sense of indebtedness to you because of your own kindness towards them. So I know that there are people they call do-gooder who are essentially very kind by nature, and sometimes they will be good to people to their own detriment. This is not what I'm telling you to become. I'm asking you to be Christ. Christ is discerning. Christ is very discerning. There are boundaries that you will know that people will know that they can't cross with you. They will know that, oh, this one, it's Jesus' boy. If you want to do anything positive, something good, something nice, go to him. Nobody will come to you to say, "Help us keep our gun. We want to go out. We will keep it with you." But there are some people that they will tell you that, oh, they are just nice. And then people will keep guns with them and to shoot the markets. I've seen cases like that. And I'll be like, what kind of, you are not a Christian. So again, you do not have boundaries. You don't know what is right or what is not right. So first level, we'll discuss second level. You have social credit. You have goodwill. Goodwill is currency. Favor is currency. Kindness is currency. Your name becomes currency. When somebody wants to do something, they will say, "Oh, Parabenga said," and you immediately you hear Parabenga, you feel like, what does this person want? That means because you've built social grace, you have done much good in the community, in the slum where you live, you have done much good. Remember the story of Tabitha, how the Bible said that Tabitha will give all the widows, give them clothes. She had a lot of social grace. She was kind to them. It's not just giving them stuff. She was kind to them. She was nice to them. When she died, those women, they refused to let her go. They sent a letter to Peter. They said, "Peter must come, that this man has been kind to us." That kindness is social grace. A lot of us must have this thing. Some people don't have it at all. And they will say, "I mean, I'm struggling financially." How will you not struggle? The levels of wealth you are supposed to build, you have jumped many. You are trading in only money. Money is not wealth. Money is just the material aspect of it. Money is not. Money fails. Money fails. It's the truth. People think money is everything. Money is everything. Sometimes, I went to a hospital once to pray for somebody. somebody that was involved in the Otedola fire incident years ago. And when we got to the hospital was, they said they couldn't take them in that hospital. And I wasn't there at the beginning. The pastor called me and said, "Ah, you have to come to this particular hospital. That's where they've carried these people." And they had put them somewhere, but they needed to be in this place where there's a particular place where they treat balls and all that. And they said that there was no bed, there was no this. Oh, when I got there, I said, "Oh, I've prayed for somebody here before. Let me go see him." And I went to the person's office. I greeted him. I said, "I wonder I didn't arrive in." I said, "Oh, there's somebody." Person said, "Ah, they will find bed." The doctor came, saw my pastor, the pastor I was talking with at the time, and the minister. Sort of all the ministers were there because this person too used to be a minister in that church before they transferred him. And it was his wife and daughter that were affected. Said, "Ah, they will find bed." Went to the boss room, spoke to them for 2 minutes. They found space. They said, "Ah, Brother Gary, we've been telling them there's no amount of money." They said, "No." But you see, where money failed, goodwill. And so it is why we shouldn't be wary of doing good. When people think that doing good is not good, it keeps you poor when you don't do good. There is good in you. There is, for the Christian, it's not, we call it good because we don't have the right word for it. But the right word for it is Christ. We do Christ. So if I say I'm doing Christ for people, I'm going to do Christ. What you are saying is that the Bible says the anointing of the Lord was upon Jesus Christ, and he went about doing good, healing those who are sick and all that. That is doing Christ. That is doing Christ. So you must do Christ consistently. It gives you what we call social wealth. It gives your name strength. They will mention your name in London. You'll be in Nigeria. Somebody will mention your name in London. That person will get a job. You will be in Nigeria. Somebody will mention your name in America. The person will get free tickets to fly. Say, "Ah, you are from Benin, I'll buy your ticket." Buy your ticket. Where are you going? I'm paying for the ticket. You will be stuck at the airport where you are doing layover in Qatar or in Dubai. You will mention, "Ah, Benin, ah, oh yeah, come and stay in this place. We are giving you free premium service." You'd be like, "Wow, it is not money. It is social grace. It is a reflection of your social wealth. How much good have you done? Do you do good? Do you do Christ? Or do you just, I know it's my business, I mind my business?" Because that is not Christ. That is, eventually you will see the limitation of self when you do not meet Christ in you, does not reach out to people, does not help people. It limits your influence. It limits your ability to spread your wings beyond self and be of help to other people in different places. So it is important for the Christian to begin from today. Those are when I say it is practical, from today where you are, begin to say, "No, I'm going to start doing good to people. I'm going to do Christ. I'll pray for people. I'll minister to them. I'll help them. My heart is always, how can I be of help? How can I be of help?" And you are doing it not because you want anything back, but because this is the nature of Christ in you. You will notice that when you begin to do that, you will begin to do internally, you begin to know that you are getting wealth. Externally, you begin to see that people begin to change the way they see you. People begin to speak of you in a good way. Your name begins to go far. As a result of that, people begin to develop a reputation. Like the reputation that Christ has, that when Jesus will be going somewhere, people will throng him. It is by reputation. They may not throng you, but people will come and meet you. You are going out, people say, "Ah, I want to see you, sir. I want to see you, sir. Ah, sir, please, can you pray for me?" "Oh, sir, when people say pray for me, do you?" It is because you pray for somebody else that the person's prayer was answered. Then another person will come and say, "Can you pray for me?" The other person will say, "Can you pray for me?" The other person will say, "Ah, I want to go to your church. I want to be following you. I want to be learning with you." Somebody will bring their daughter or son and say, "I want them to be your apprentice." And it is because you have social grace. You have social wealth now. And social wealth inevitably would lead to our physical wealth. People would want to associate with you. They want to do business with you. They will want you to know about their business. They will bring you business opportunities. They will by themselves come to you and say, I have this business opportunity. I don't know. I have 2 million. I have 5 million. I have 10 million. I don't know if you want to be a partner or if you want to be with me. I don't know if you have, if you have the time to help me oversee. I'm doing my freedom. I want you to come and bless me on my freedom. I'm doing my graduation. I want you to bless me. And then, you know, on people's birthday or social event, you also reach out to bless them. You are deliberate about building your social wealth. This is the second level. When you have that goodwill in your community, when you have that goodwill, so you will also notice that a lazy person cannot be a Christian. Someone that just sleeps in all day, that doesn't work. You can be a Christian, but you cannot be a wealthy Christian. Because the nature of Christ is an incarnate nature. The Bible said Jesus was going about doing good. It's what that means. And it can mean somebody who walks about, walk about. Jesus was always moving. Always moving. Doesn't sit in one spot. So when I see Christians who sit in one spot saying that it is where I sit, that goodness will come and meet me. That is not a lie. Where you are, goodness will come, money will come, but you will not have social grace. Nobody knows somebody that does not want to be known. Nobody speaks well of somebody that doesn't want to be spoken well of. There is no way that you will not sell yourself, but you expect others to sell you. Jesus sold himself. He didn't have money to give, but he sold himself. He sold himself through his good works, through his glorious deeds, through his teachings. He has words of wisdom. He has word of counsel. Through his mindset, people began to see him in a different light, and people began to relate with him. Jesus never raised an offering. People by themselves will bring gifts. You know how it is when I dodge where I live now so that people don't know where I live. When people knew where I lived, when I go out in the day, by the time I come back in the evening, the house will be full of all sorts of things. My house. Sometimes I will get live goods. Live goods in a rented house. I will get Martina, cook, cake, cook. People will come, they will drop all sorts. I will begin to give neighbors, passerbys. There was a guy that was around my house, the house was for market. He used to come to my house, come and pack Martina for free because my house will have so much. And that is social grace. Because you do not do good to people because you want anything from them. But their hearts would bless you. Secondly, because you are making your confession every day, the confession will draw the heart of men to come and give unto you. So that's why a Christian cannot be quiet. I'm going to speak more on confession and other things tomorrow. I want to speak about these things that we all need, most of us don't do. Because we say I'm a private person. I buy my business. No. This environment is toxic. See, an environment that is toxic. The Bible says, behold, darkness covers the heart, and God's darkness the people. But thou shalt arise upon Zion. The light, arise, shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. It is important that in the midst of that toxic environment, they can easily know that there is a child of God there. The gospel should not lack a representative because you have a nature or because you are dealing with people that are, no. People should see that there is a spirit in you, that is a spirit that is different, and that spirit is a spirit that is shining bright. and bring forth light. If you don't build wealth this way, if you think wealth is money, you will realize that money fails. Where you need anointing to raise the dead, money cannot do the job. I mean, money cannot do the job. And that is also part of wealth. Christ is your wealth. Christ is your wealthy place. And so you must begin to practice this nature of Christ. You will come out of indebtedness in no time. You would establish your own businesses to begin to thrive the same way you spoke your way out of the pit of indebtedness. You speak your way to the top of a skyscraper. You speak your way to the top of a mountain. You look at what God has done so far. You thank Him for it. And then you speak 4 times 10 of it. Don't, your decision making should be consistent. Don't start with confession. Things begin to do well. You begin to make money. And then when you make a certain amount of money, you're not like, hey, let me quickly go and give my money to one person to invest. And then you let that person carry your money away. A lot of Christians do that. It shows that they do not believe in what they are doing. They think that the confession thing is a fluke. And that it is when you do business with maybe a bank, when you invest in one agricultural or oil and gas, when you invest in one, that is when you have actually, that's not true. You know, people write to me and they will say, Abraganga, can you tell us 2 or 3 of your strongest source of income? And I will say to them, number 1, Christ. Number 2, Christ. Number 3, Christ. And it would be to them as if you didn't want to share with them the secrets. People write to me, where do we invest? Where do we invest? What are you doing? And to them, it's because they are not thinking Christian. They are thinking logic. But I don't think logic. I think Christ. Doesn't mean that I don't do other things. If the Holy Spirit leads me to do some things, I do them. But they are not my source. They are not... ta, 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 ta. Ah. Let's say, for example, I want to travel out of the country and they say I should bring my bank statement. I want to present the bank statement because that is what the language the world understands. But the money in the bank statement is not all I'm worth. The bank statement I'm giving them is just to satisfy them in order for them to give me the visa I want. So I do not see the, I do not, so that is why I think it is necessary for me to have a bank account. Naturally, I wouldn't. And yet, I would never be poor. So in my mind, what I have to give unto Caesar are those things. I just know that, okay, I need to have this document. I need to have a bank account. I need to have like a business name for this simply because I must have an excuse for the blessings of God that has been bestowed upon me by His divine power. So I would have those things so that when anybody comes to me to ask questions, the tax people and all that, I can give them documents. But of course, nobody can truly measure the wealth that God has deposited in any believer. If the believer will walk the right way and act the right way and build the right way, you will notice that before you know it, Christ will surround you with people who are also growing with you. That is the beautiful thing about it. So once you begin your journey, people begin to notice and then they begin to copy your way of life. And then you notice that all of them also begin to do well. All around you, you'll be surrounded. One time you are poor, you are surrounded by poor people. Suddenly you look to your right, you suddenly notice that somebody that both of you are poor before, you could talk to the person will send you millions. You can also send the person millions. You look to your left, millions. You look to your, so you notice that your capacity is increasing. It's increasing daily. And that thing does not stop. And so the more your capacity increases, the more you must reach out in your social wealth system, in your social graces. You must then do charity. You must be deliberate about being a blessing to people. So this is where churches would introduce tithes, offering, and all those things. But this is not where they are supposed to be introduced. They are supposed to be given to God. It's supposed to be part and parcel of your nature. If you don't give to God at all, if you follow the principle I teach, you don't give to God at all, you will be rich. That's the truth. You see, if you do it the way I try to simplify it, I taught through this class all morning. I wanted to teach it in such a way that if you begin to practice it from today, and they are sincere and they do it properly, they will not only see that their relationship with people will improve, their relationship with their family members will improve. People will be open, all the people they've blocked on WhatsApp, they will unblock them. They will have a free heart because there will be no malice, no anger, all the natural toxicity that comes with poverty, they will dispel of it. This helps them to become healthy. Then they will have healthy relationships. And as they have healthy relationships, they will notice that they begin to grow also financially. People begin to think of them. I remember a young man that had been stealing over and over and over in St. David's. Always he would get into a lot of debt. Always he would get into a lot of debt. So one day we sat down together, right? I spoke with him. And we had a lengthy talk. And after the talk, he said, "This time around, if you do it the proper way, you will see." And he began to do it. And one day, I noticed that somebody that both of us know, myself and this young man, we know this person, an elderly man. The man just reached out to him, and the man said, "What are you doing now? I have some extra money. I want to invest in whatever you are doing now, just to help you. I don't need any returns. But if you are not doing anything, I'm not giving you anything. But if you are doing something, I want to be a part of it." And I'm telling you, when the man did not just give him, the man called other people to give him. This man now runs a microfinance bank in Lagos, and the bank is doing very well. And when I met him, it was my neighbor. He was really struggling. But every time he would tell me, "I mean, guy, I'm telling you are not doing it properly." If Christ be in you, within your church, everybody is a Christian. But if Christ be in you, people will identify you beyond the other Christians. The people will just know. When I joined the church I used to attend, within a week, people just knew. Because I was deliberate in doing Christ. I started doing Christ 2016. I started doing it in my place of work, on the streets, on days that are quiet. I would get in my car and drive to a beggar and pray for the sick on the bridge. I don't think there will be a day that I don't do Christ. When I make my confessions, I would act on my confessions. I would deliberately act on my confessions. I would go into banks and open accounts when I had no money to put in the account. I will act on my faith. I will say, "Okay, what am I doing today? I'm saying that gold is mine, this is mine, that is mine, that is mine. Okay. So if I want to handle this thing, I need dollars. So I have to open a dollar account." You know, I began to think like that so that my words will not turn to Hail Mary full of grace. You know, there are some Christian doctrines that have become roots. People just say them. They really don't have much impact and meaning in people's reality anymore. They just memorize these things and they say them. There are sometimes even in Christianity, people pray. You will notice that the prayer they are praying is memorized prayer. It is just like throwing words in the air. They are not going to follow it up. But if you do Christ the way I have taught you today, if you are deliberate in doing Christ this way, you will change your circumstances within a month. People notice change. People notice when somebody around them has changed. And they pay attention. They wanted to know if the person is, they would like to know if the person is consistent or pretending. So at first, it will be as if you are pretending, but they will notice the consistency. the consistency. They will test it. They will try it. They will see that, wow, there's something different about this guy. He has changed. Then you will notice that they also will become open. People that when you come out of the party before, they will shut their door. Now, when you come out of your door, they are waiting for you to come out of your door. They will come out and say, "Good morning, sir." They will come out to greet. You realize that something has changed. Then the next day they will say, "Hey, when are you coming back? I want to see you in the evening." You see, they will become friendlier. They will begin, and that is the beginning. That is what Christ has done to you, that you must use as a means of being a blessing to your world. So practice what I've taught. When you build your social grace to a point, and the name has gone as far as it could or as far as it should, you will begin to get opportunities. People will have problems. It's one of the things I will have to close with today. Years back, I was discussing with my senior pastor, and my senior pastor said, "Ha, if you teach people how to heal the sick, you teach them how to heal the sick. You are basically taking food out of your own mouth because they normally call you to come and heal the sick. So if you teach them how to heal the sick, if they are sick, they will heal themselves. So they will not call you again." Now, this was a pastor I was working with who noticed that when I was in the church, I used to do a lot of I used to work in the spiritual a lot. And when people are sick, they will call me. One day I got tired because I could have 16, 17 calls and I have to go to different places. And it is not as if I'm doing it for money, because even if they offer money, I will not take. I will use my own money. I will stress myself a lot. One day I go to church and I said, "Hey, everybody, sit down. Let me teach you how to heal the sick. You will begin to heal yourself so that I can rest." And the pastor was shocked. He said, "Ah, it's like taking food out of your own mouth. You should not teach them. Be healing them." I said, "No. If you teach them how to heal themselves, they will no longer need me. So I can do higher things." I'm saying that to you so that you can understand why it is necessary. Why it is very necessary as a born-again Christian not to hoard the gift of God and try to trade it for money. Because people would have challenges, bigger challenges, and you must train yourself not only to handle the small ones, but once you master the small ones and you teach other people, you will then have opportunity to handle the big ones. It was in the course of that time that I got an invitation to minister in the church. I framed the honorarium I was given. Maybe it was the only church in my life where I collected honorarium. I ministered day one. I was an unknown person, very unknown. But because of the Christ I've been doing to people, I ministered to somebody. The person was healed. The person then went to tell our pastor in our church that, "Ha, there is a young man. Nobody knows him, but he's anointed. I want you to bring him for our crusade. Let him, even if just one day, I want you to see." They invited me. I got there on a Monday. I was supposed to do one day. When the power of God moved on Monday, they said I should also do Tuesday. I did Tuesday. They said I should do Wednesday. I did Wednesday. They said I should do Thursday. I ended up doing 4 days of crusade with them. And when I was leaving, Sunday, they said I couldn't leave because they invited other ministers. So they said those ones also minister. But on Sunday, I'll be going to do the closing session. And then I'll pray for all their ministers. When I was leaving, they gave me a check of 400,000 naira. By my training, I took that check to my senior pastor in the church where I couldn't, even though they wrote it in my name, I was trained that I cannot take the money and pocket it. So I took the money to my senior pastor. I gave him the check. He almost fainted because it was wondering who would give this small boy. But you remember what I said? It was from building social graces. If you cannot do it to those that are in your immediate community, how do you think one day you just sleep and begin to do it at a national level? No. You must start where you are, and you must do Christ where you are. As you do Christ where you are, people begin to notice it. It will spread. It will spread. Before you know it, people will begin to invite you. And then before you know it, things will begin to come together. But it must start from where you are. Jesus Christ told them that they must preach the gospel in Jerusalem, in Judea, and then the uttermost part of the earth. I'm going to round off here. Tomorrow, I'm going to take part two of this class. And I hope that you would be present, because then I'm going to escalate it towards money and how to keep the resources, how to spend, what to do to keep it, what to do to make it. But social graces must be built inside of you. It must be built inside of you so well. Christ in you must manifest so much that you can never be poor again. No matter where you are in this world, if you just begin to do it all over again within a short time, you notice that you are back to being very wealthy and very much a need or in circulation. You will not be, "Oh, I traveled abroad and then my ministry died." You will not be that kind of Christian. Once I went to London, once I went to Canada, my ministry, no, that's not good. Or when I lost my job, and suddenly there's no food again, no. If you build wealth the right way, there is nothing in this world that can take away your source of income. You have become the source through Christ of your own wealth. It's time to give our offering. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. If you are blessed by this teaching today, I'd like you to know that the impartation that comes with it is required. That is the reason why I'm always asking for offering. The offering is to the poor, not to me. By the grace of God, we do this every quarter. And when we do it, we make sure that we take care of the need of those who are there around us. But I do not take the opportunity lightly. So I try to teach properly. I do not do it. I do my best so that the ministering angels that are with me will also bless people. They will give their best. They know when you are not sincere, and I do not want to waste God's time. So I want you to give, and as you give today, it's an impartation gift for building financial stability, building wealth. Within the next few months, you will notice that there will be consistent increase, not just financially. It will start from within. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. It will flow out of your belly, and it will become a torrent. It will become a sea that will flow continuously to those around you and draw them to the love of Christ and change everybody's circumstances. It will not be difficult for you to do anything. It will be easy. This is the word of the Lord. And you are doing these things based on the things you've learned. You must practice what I teach you. I beg. I'm begging. I told you, I spent hours. I wanted to teach this class. I know it in my heart how to teach it, but I wanted to so break it down so that even a 15-year-old who begins to practice it by 20, he will have mastered situation and circumstances so that he'll be at nobody's mercy. I'm trusting God that I was able to do that. I declare that you are blessed. I declare that in this life you will lack nothing. I declare that the hand of the Lord will be upon you, upon your business, upon your home. I declare that you will not be morally bankrupt. You will not be emotionally bankrupt. I declare it. You will not be wisdom. You will not be bankrupt in terms of wisdom. I declare it that you will not be bankrupt in terms of knowledge and understanding. I declare that all the flowers, that's what I see, all the flowers of knowledge and understanding and wisdom in you are blooming. You begin to know, you walk in it, you act in it, you walk in it, you act on it. You are expanded and enlarged in many places. Thank you, Father, for answering our prayers. We love you with an everlasting love. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. If you are blessed, please unmute and shout, "Glory!"
Glory.
Glory.
Glory.